Simon Shin Yud Ches, Sif Yud Tes, Mishnah Berurah, Kuf Yud Ches. So the person is taking Tzli, which is Kenegad HaMadura, and you want to put oil or garlic on it, because you're going to be cooking the oil and the garlic from the heat of the fire fireplace. Now, Kenegad HaMadura, Lav Dafka, if it's Kenegad HaMadura, only if it's Kenegad HaMadura. The truth is, in other words, the issue here sounds like the issue is the fire, but the truth is there's another issue over here, because the Hua didn't Bamarvas Ashfoid Shatochu Balov Hatslimeho Esh. You take the spit, which has the roasting meat, away from the fire. Kosma Shahura Sech Shayatza Lettuce Boy, as long as the meat is still hot, the point of Yatza Lettuce Boy, Asulaturchalov, you can't put any of these oil or spices on it. So there's a problem. It isn't the fire. The problem is that the roasting meat itself can cook the oil. Even if you then take the meat, the spit which has the meat in it, you put it down on the plate, which is a klisheni. It's aser. Don't come and place them serving the dover gush calls the mancha. Yeah, so let us wait. Fill up a klisheni mavash. That a salad, as long as it's still hot, has the power to cook, even if it's sitting in a klisheni. Mikol mokum b'di'evid, and lesser kashu munach b'klisheni. However, if it's sitting in a klisheni already, b'di'evid, we're not going to make it osur because our poskim can say that it's mutter. There's some kind of a poskim, the klisheni and a mavashal, b'chol gavni, the whole that klisheni is not mavashal, even by a dover gush. Okay? What? Kufir Ches. If cotton Kufir Ches. Calls it Bashum Bashemin to Dovrachash on his Bashum. But here we're talking about something which has never been cooked, the oil or the garlic. Bashumon, but if you're talking about fat, Shenikpa, which is congealed, which is cooked already, Matulatuch, I feel a Kenegad HaMadura, you're allowed to put it even Kenegad HaMadura, then Bashum Bishul came and his Bashum was already cooked once upon a time, and we deal with it as a salad. Bishul does not apply. There's no problem with bishul. Now, there's a problem with noilud. You're liquefying it, so that's like noilud. So you said discussed this before. It's not a problem. Kimish and ibla babasir veto ben. It immediately gets absorbed into the meat, so that's not a problem of noilud. Okay. Ubavad, your raskan will be a dime. You can't squeeze it. Your raskan is like to tear it apart in small pieces, which then they would immediately, because of that, they would melt immediately. So it's like he's cutting it there, he's causing it to melt. Matt, you shouldn't be involved in the crushing process and the liquefying process. Put pieces on, punimuch melov, and they will just melt on their own. You're allowed, based on this logic, you're allowed to take shuman avos shenikpa, goose fat, which is congealed, and you want to rub it or to smear it on agave minik kamochim akitnius. You have different types of farfel, etc. Garden lokshin, erbizin, hairs. So lokshin is noodles, I'm not sure what irbizin is, and here is a type of a grain. And sifkat nyot kufir ches.
Sifkat
kufir ches. Shenasodom agabe akara, they're on a plate. After shuhu reseach, and they're very hot still. So you have your hot farfel over there. So it's davar yoh, it's davar gush. You want to put this fat on, so it's mutter. Because it's not considered a bishop, because it's dealt with as a yovesh. We're actually, you put a little bit at a time, it'll get absorbed, as opposed to putting a large amount, which will then flow off and be a separate liquid. And that, we said before, that we want to be machmer because of the nerlid aspect.
Where's sifkat and kufyud ches?
It's the first sifkat. It's the last sifkat in the simon. It's a long one. Okay.
Shin Yud Ches.
Izbat Tusefta. Echad Nosan Es Or, Vechad Nosan Es Eitzim. Now, the Mishnah Berurah has discussed some points about, like at the beginning, discussing points about Bishul. He's going to add a few points about Bishul, which were not discussed in the Sim, and he wants to discuss them. The Gemara says like this: Echad Nosan Es Or, one person puts down the fire, then somebody else adds the Eitzim, Echad Nosan Es Eitzim, adds some more wood, Echad Nosan Es Ekder, another person puts down the pot, Echad Nosan Es Mayim, another person adds the water into the pot, Echad Nosan Es Basar, one person puts in the meat. Bechad as a tav, another person adds some spices. Wacher behegis, someone else comes along and stirs. Kulun chayavim. So they're all chayiv. Okay. Now, hainu shenoisin ha'or chayiv mishum avri. He makes making a fire. Shemar lekachel zimakum umakum. Misnami miruach halichos. So when nothing is ur means he took a burning hot coal from somewhere else. Moved it over here. While he moved over here, it caused it to glow. Because you move it in the wind, it causes it to glow. So he did maver. He puts it down over here. Then somebody adds wood. He's building up the fire. Can't cause the rush. Excuse me. The rest of them put in the kadera, the water, the meat, the spices, and stirring all go under the malacha of Bishul. Got megas. Now, maybe Tom said, stirring also is causing bishul. Anything which is part of the process of bishul is considered bishul. Now the only question really we have to understand over here is the pot. The water, the meat, the spices, the stirring, etc.
What is new here that is being brought down at this point from what we haven't known before?
You know, I mean, they probably could have figured all of it out, but the mice, it's a clear tisefta, which says these points over here, that there's a mice of bishul. Okay, now the problem over here is, what's pshat with the pot? What is the chiyuv for putting down the pot? It's not making a fire, it's not cooking anything, there's nothing in the pot. Now, zok the Mishnah Berurah, because she calls it a Rambam, but in essence, like there, Mar B'chadosh, it's a new pot, it's an earthenware pot. The pot yachayev for the strengthening of the act of causing the pot to be strengthened. So you put an empty pot on the fire, that's going to brand new, and it's a new pot, that's like the end of the process of making the pot. What? Sagamata patish. Okay, now, Echad, however, let's say the following order. So that was the order, you put the fire down first. But let's say Echad Nosan Es Ekder, one person put down the pot, Echad Nosan Es Mayim, one guy added water, Echad Nosan Es Basar, added the meat, Echad Nosan Es Tavon, added the spices, Echad Nosan Es Eitzim, one person put down the wood, Echad Hevi Es Ur, then a person brought the fire there and lit it. Uvarach Vehege, somebody else came and stirred, Shemar Chayim Chayavim, the last two are Chayiv. That's the gears of the last two Rechayiv. Okay, so that's the correct gears. So everybody else up to there didn't do anything. Because of Rabbi Magid, the Divrei call Kol Shein Bebishulei Chiyuv. If there's no Chiyuv for cooking it, it's fully cooked. And but also chiyuv, stirring it cannot be chayiv either, because stirring is long the process of cooking; it's already cooked. Comes along the beis yisuf calls the b'shem hakol, but the kashihi alo eish chayiv hagosa filu b'mvushal kol tzerchay. That since Rama says the chiyuv of hagosa is part of the process. So when it's on the fire, it's all considered part of the process, and therefore it's considered bishul still. Now the Sharatzi and Kufim Ches actually says, "Bla'eda hatam." I don't understand why you should be chayiv. The idea of hagosa may bishul mamish. How can hagosa be more chomer than bishul? V'chol ha'pesim b'ayim the mavushal kol tzarcha ein by bishul mishum bishul ein isav tesefta behedya. So the kabbas chumra that while it's an aish is an isra is a chiyuv of hagos isra of hagosa is very difficult to understand why that's so. Klibas shalom is a current samovar. So you have your hot urn. You started heating it up. You heated it up before Shabbos. Also, little mimeno mayim b'Shabbos, kashenu gorf min kacholim. They would actually have the coals in there. So there's a gzera, you might come to stir the coals. Now, what's the problem? The car is fully cooked. And we don't have a gzera, you might come to stir the coals. Mulyar was a type of a samovar. Now, what's the reason? Normally, in a garb, if it's not fully cooked, you might stir it to get it to be fully cooked. Over here, it's fully cooked. It was heated before Shabbos. And tam in meishu osi prokim, umisir shami is akal perukai b'humoysef mayim. He's worried about, since the coals are in there, and having the hot fire in there without water in the pot, he might come to be worried about the potential of the pot to just not withstand the heat, and therefore he might come to add water. So there was a gzera that they had in that situation, that so your electric urn theoretically should have this kashash, or it has the same, right? If it runs out of water and you don't add water, the whole thing's, you know, the element's still going, and you can damage the whole thing. So there is economy. Some people were told that you can't use an electric percolator on Shabbos because of this issue of the Yerushalmi that the Tosefes Yerushalayim quotes.
Well, no, yeah, you could start a fire with an electric burn.
So,
we've had that happen before. We have to get a guy to unplug it. Because it's like a car
of
Levada fire hazard.
If what?
If you leave an electric burn on with no water inside.
Right. So the car should go into the exterior. You can't use it, period. You can't set out with it full of water either, according to this. According to this, you shall.
Yeah, but the issue over here is that it's going to come to Bishul.
No. The issue over here is that you're afraid, since it's dangerous, the person will come and add water. So he said you can't use the chatchilo because you might end up coming to add water. So we're also the same. The person's afraid to leave it without any water. He'll add water. But the same gzeira. So the shaila. So why should it? I mean, the ma'aseh minig ha'olam is that it's mutter, right? So the car. I mean, the way our percolators are set up, unless you tilt it, of course, you know, we're chachamim, for a safety feature, it doesn't go all the way down to the bottom. So the way it's set up is that it's made not to come to that danger. So whereas the mulyar didn't have the type of a, you know, I'm obviously you can override it, but it's the way it's set up is that to prevent that chashash. So the Dayan Weiss held it, that it didn't go into this gzera. If you're drinking some hot water before Shabbos and Shabbos starts, you should not take out any more hot water. Okay. That is the end of Simen Shin Yod Ches. Now we're going to start with Malachos HaBorer. And Mr. Borer, as we saw before, gives an introduction to the Simen. Bishul is one of the Lamatas Malachas, so the Chi of Chatos, Chi of Skila. But when I say no harabim, Haranashim Nikshal and Bishul Burr, Burr is a very easy Malacha to be over. And many people are. Okay, now Erev Levar, I saw Be'ezer Hashem, Bechol Pratah. I'm going to try and explain it as best as I can. Atam Lazat Simon, Hagdam Maksar, I'm going to give a small introduction. Bahu. In Chalisa Berman, Atar Akim, Bechel Mishle Shafanim, Shaz Derek Brevi, he came Bechel. It's only considered a burr if it meets one of these three criteria. In Berra Pesellus Min Ha'Oichel, Fila Berra B'yadu B'dayt Alechel Miyad, Kam Kein Chai. If a person takes the bad from the good, even though he's doing it for immediate use, he's doing it with his hands. We'll see what that means, hands. He's chayiv. Dizel der breira b'chol libra p'selus menarichol. That was the standard way to do breira, was p'selus menarichol. Now let me explain, just that, you know, let me give an introduction to his introduction. Right? The Gemara defines the malacha of breira as breira l'otzer. The malacha burr is the process of preparing something to be put away to use, as opposed to achila. Derech achila. Derech achila, I mean, the betzim, the process of eating really isn't a process of burr. Taking what, you know, we chew things, some things we spit out. It's all part of the achila process, is selecting what we want to use, etc. So why isn't it considered burr? So again, the malacha burr is not burr, it's burr loitzer. It's the definition burr is the process of selecting something to be able to use it later. As long as it's part of the ma'aseh achila, that's called ma'aseh achila, it's not called burr. So if I do burr in my mouth, it's not burr. So that what the Morazim Machadish is, that not only is burr not called burr if it's in your mouth, but if it's on your fork on the way to your mouth, it's also not called burr. That's all part of the ma'aseh achila. And if it's on your plate, on the way to the fork, on the way to your mouth, it's also called a ma'aseh achila. So as long as you can give it a shame of a ma'aseh achila, it's not called burr. Well, a ma'aseh achila is done in the following way. Ma'aseh achila is you take what you want, you take what you want and put in your mouth. You don't take what you don't want. So ma'aseh achila is going to be the good from the bad. Ma'aseh achila is going to be done for immediate use. Yes, you're putting it into your mouth. And ma'aseh achila normally was done, it wasn't done with any fancy machines to do burr. That was ma'aseh achila, was you stick it in your mouth. So the definition of a ma'aseh achila as opposed to ma'aseh burr means that it's done the good from the bad for immediate use by hand. If you do it bad from the good, or not for immediate use, or with a machine, it's not called ma'aseh achila anymore. Now it's called burr. And that's what the Mor says. If any one of these three criteria are not, any three criteria of heter are not met, it's called burr, and it's going to be chiv derais. If they are met, it's mutar gomer, because it's part of a ma'aseh achila. They didn't answer ma'aseh achila. Now, the chiddush of ma'aseh achila is we're going to then extend the concept of the ma'aseh achila to other things besides achila. So I want to use the sefer. So I long to take the sefer for immediate use, good from bad, and I take it by hand, and whatever it's called, it's touch on the hand, it's, you know, my high sefer, and I use one of these to grab it. That's still called my. That's called the biyad. That's also called. It has the heter of ma'aseh achila as opposed to ma'aseh burr, because it wasn't made for the process of fixing something up to address the item. It was made for my use. So let's take it to the next stage. In other words, Chazal said the ma'aseh achila is mutter, burr l'otzer is also. So what's the lamdas? Burr l'otzer is also because I've done a tikkun on the item. That's what you want to do. I want to put it away into storage and have it ready to use next time I use it. So I've made the item more usable. So my goal is to fix the item. Achila, my goal is to use it. So I'm going to extrapolate and say the same way achila is mutter, so therefore taking a sefer to use is also mutter. Going and set all the swarm on the shelf is going to be a problem, because my goal isn't for me to use it. My goal is to make these items, the group which is here, more usable for later usage. So we're going to differentiate between when it's a tikkun done on the item as opposed to for my personal uses now. So that's going to be the called derech achila or burr l'otzer. Yeah, making sense so far?
So what if you take out, you're learning some from swarm? Let's say you pick out 3-4 svarim, and then you want to put those svarim back afterwards.
Okay, so there's a very important rule whenever we deal with burr. Burr is only, by definition, it has to start with a mixture. It's only shaykh, the concept of taking things and correcting them and fixing them and, you know, separating them out, if they're mixed together. If I have one item there and one item there, that's not called barer. So you need to have a tarubis. Now, one of the most difficult things to define halacha, what's called a tarubis? Like how much together is called a tarubis? And parts of the tarubis is defined by three elements. How many items there are, how close they are to each other, and how large they are. The smaller they are, the more you perceive it as one big mixture. The more they're larger, the more distinct they're perceived. The less they are, the more distinct they are. And again, the further away they are from each other, the more distinct they are. One person one time told me, he says, you know, how do you find a tarubis? He says, if it looks like a tarubis, it's a tarubis. If it doesn't look like a tarubis, it's not a tarubis. A very clear definition of a tarubis, because you can't define it. You know, the eye perceives it. So you can have toys strewn all over the floor, and that's called a tarubis. Because there's a lot of toys, so they're fairly close to each other, or because they're small. Right? I could have an item on this table and that table. It's not a tarubis. I have a pile of coats. So, you know, they came in for the winter for Shalom Zachar. Everybody piled all their coats on the couch. So that's a tarubis. They're pretty large items, but there's like 17 of them, and they're all black. You know, like, you know, all yeshivas. You know, it's tarubis. You know, very hard. On the other hand, if it's two coats, and you know, one of them is tan color, one of them is a dark black. You know, it's pretty clear, distinct two items. It's hard to define what a tarubis is. And I think his definition is probably the best definition. If it looks like a tarubis, it's a tarubis.
What would you do in that coat case? Everybody comes for Shalom Zachar.
Okay, so we're getting ahead of ourselves. Okay, so now we're just trying to make an introduction over here. One last point which I want to introduce, the Bir Halacha deals with, is Barer a Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. L'Chor Malacha, it's a Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Because, okay, I have this mixture over here, I have the bad, I have the good, and I take out the bad, I don't need the bad. Right, so it's the Machshavah Shich LeGufa. So is that so or not? So the Bir Halacha says that that's not so. Since we look at it as a taruvis, it is a taruvis. It starts off by definition as a taruvis. So you've created a tikkun in the taruvis. The ma'aseh you've done is a tikkun in the taruvis. That's not called a Shich LeGufa. You're right. I don't need the psoilus, but my ma'aseh malach is not done by taking the psoilus out. The ma'aseh malach is done by taking. By addressing the needs of this item which is here, that's called. So I'm doing a ma'ase. The makom asiyas malacha is in the taruv. It's not an item that you're taking out. So that ma'ase of tikkun in the taruv is was tzrich l'guf. So that's another reason why we have to look at it as a taruv. Otherwise, where's the malacha? The ra'isa. Okay. So Mishnah Berurah says again. So let's go back into the introduction over here. If you take pshelus from oichol. So then it's not called Derech Achil, it's called Derech Breir. Yimu Barer B'Kalisha Derech Lever Bo, if you use a Kli, which is a type of a Kli, which is normally used for Barer purposes, again, Menofa Ukvara, a sieve, Kvara is a sifter, really all the way around, sifter and sieve, basically the same idea. Chayv, I feel Yimu Barer Ha'ilchem and Apsalus, but that's even though it's good from the bad, for immediate use. But this is called a mice. This is how you do brayer for long term use, not for mice achila normally. Shkein derech b'bar b'kli, and that's because that's called how you bar with a kli. No difference perma who dvar achum in apsalis. Depending which one, you know, you can do go either way. Gan shenikra kvora dak and avoychel who gas amim hu lehipuch. You know, depending on if someone is what you want to use to eat is large, and the apsalis is small, so you'll sift it by holding on to the good and dropping the bad. That's called taking good from the bad, or vice versa. A kli which is not derech breira, but is a kli, so that's potter avolos. Gimel, feeling more barachem and upsell is good from the bad. Ubi yodoi, not using a kli. Actually, that's the lechel lachris man. Maybe you plan to eat it later, not now. So you can't call it ma'aseh achila. So that's chayiv. That's called berloitz. Or you're doing it now to have this thing ready to use later on. So you're doing a tikkun on this item for later usage. It's going to be mutter when you meet all three stadim of heter. It has to be good from the bad. It's done by hand. for me to use. Shows lab derech brei he elo derech achila he. That's called derech achila, not derech brei. Elo dikrei akolim shemisim and zeh. That's the main rules. We have a problem in the very mitzvah shem b'simen abo. As we go through the simen, I will explain them. Now the question when you discuss the condition of kli versus hands. So the example of that we give is napa and kvora. Napa and kvora, clearly they are berer kalim. They're made for their whole mitzvah is made to do the process of the berer. Good. There are certain kalim which are patal b'lo, so they're not derech berer with them. Someone gives an example of a funnel. Now, if you're pretty smart, you can use a funnel to do berer. How so? Chaff is fairly light, and it's nice little puffy pieces. And the kernels of wheat are smaller, etc., and they're heavier. So you take it, put it in a funnel, and you swish it around. The nature is the heavier pieces will come out through the bottom of the spout of the funnel, and the lighter pieces will stay on top. So I can do brera with a funnel. I can do something like that with a large bowl. I can do, I might use centrifugal force and do that type of thing. So there are ways of doing brera. So those are pata velosa. It's not the normal derech to do with pata velosa. I go in and take out the good from the bad with a spoon. What's that? You know, it's done with a kli. But the kli is not adding an element, in a certain sense, it's not really adding an element of, it's not giving a special brera propensity to do it. It's just I don't want to get my hands dirty or hot or whatever it is, you know, or make the food contaminated by my hands. My goal is I put a spoon in, etc.
Or like a fork in like a vegetable dish that has like a lot of liquid in it.
So Moshe says the following rule. If the spoon or fork actually helps in the brera process, makes it easier to do brera, because I use a big slotted spoon or a big fork and it drops the liquid out, so it's helping do the brera process, it's going to be din of a berber kli and it's going to be awesome. But if it's just that, you know, the point is, I'm not interested in sticking my hand into the thing to take it out. But theoretically, the spoon is not doing a better job than my hand, theoretically. So that's not considered barabakli. That's considered just an extension of my hand.
So really, with these type of vegetables, you shouldn't use a fork, then? Huh? Even if it's to help you stick the vegetables, and you just want to take.
Well, depends what it is, you know. If it's just to stick it, to take it out. But if my goal is like put it under it and let it drop out, I shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Why did I remember this Ramush on it, but a knife does a much better job than your hand. It's not just like I remember Ramush is about the cleanliness thing, but a knife is more than cleanliness, it's more effective.
You know, but what you know, what it's more effective of doing is not brera. The point is, in other words, you look at the kelim you're talking about, kelim which they have a brera propensity, right? So that you're not in your kavora, or the case of the kanarn and the tamchoy. You take your big bowl and you swing it around, something will fall to the bottom, things will stay on top, etc.
Right.
Over here, it's if it adds an element of brera, your slotted spoon, right? If it's just like, yes, it's easier to pick up, if I have something sitting in a liquid, it's easier to get it out with a spoon than, you know, chasing it with my hands. But it's not brera which I'm making easier. It's not a process of brera I'm making easier. Okay, so let's see the Shulchan Aruch, the first sif of the sif in Shulchan Aruch. Din bar b'shabbos, bo yuzayin sifim, aleph. Habar ha'ochel metech ha'pserlis, person takes the good from the bad. Okay. Oh, shehoyo lefon of shnei minei ocholim, there's two different types of foods. Habar min miminach, he takes one from the other, because I want to eat raisins now and not nuts. There's a mixture of nuts and raisins together. All right, so I would take the good from take the one from the other, one that I want, but I do it binafa b'kvora with a kli. So even though it's a good from the bad, it's done with a kli with the different types of sifters. The lacha is chayv. B'kanonu b'tamchui, If he uses a canarin is a funnel, tamoy is a big bowl. Potter velos. Avim bar b'yadoi. He does it with his hands. Kedei lechol altar for immediate use. Echila is mutter. That's called mutter. Now, zatra mo. Chomah shabur l'tzarech l'isasuda shemesiba miyad mikri. Meso miyad is mikri l'altar. Everything was done for that immediate suda that you're starting right now is all called l'altar. So l'altar doesn't mean just as I'm taking it, sticking in my mouth, but this is all just for this meal right now. That's called, that's the food on the table. That's not called bur l'oitzer, and that's mutter. I feel like karam oichlam imoy shori. Even if there's other people eating there, so it's, I'm preparing the food for somebody else, etc. That's still mutter. So I want to take my lettuce, and some of the leaves have became ma'upush, decided to wither and to rot, and I want to take out the good leaves from the bad leaves for that meal, so I can take as much as I need for that meal, and that's not a problem. So to the Mishnah Berurah of cotton olives, but not over kvar is chayv. She's out there by Rosa, using the sifter. That's because Derek Rera. He's doing it good from bad for immediate use, but it's done with the cleavage that's made for Berer. He's chayv. It's like a pipe. It's wide on one end, it's narrow on the other end. So it's a funnel. A Berer kidney is. You want to be Berer kidneyus, so you have the beans themselves that you want to use. Then you have the pot, etc., which they came in. You put it on the wide end. And you shake it. The beans flow out the thin end. The pods, which are not round, stay on top. The tamchi, who carries all the tamchi, is an example of a large bowl. The potter will also the habi berer kilech. Yeah, it's potter. I will also it's berer derech shinui. It wasn't the common way to do it, and therefore, it's like doing a kilech. Yeah, the berer and al benapa b'kor. Iker berer is the benapa b'kor. Therefore, it's going to be only the rabban. In berer b'yadoi, but dafka elchem and apsolus. If you take the good from the bad, b'yadoi is going to be mutter. Will happen. We'll call gavni chayiv. If a person takes bad from the good, I don't care whether you use your hands or not. Bad from the good is chayiv. Kill kamebisim. Kill kamom and sif dalad behe. Okay. So he says whatever you're doing for that meal, chomashaber rutzalim. Afilu yarech zman hasuda kamashos. The suda itself might take a few hours long. But I'm preparing the food now, right before the meal. That's called mikra la'altar, kimash abrera, he's samach la'suda. Since you're doing it immediately before the suda, so that's called la'altar. That's a bit cooler.
That's even if you're preparing before the suda, say?
Before the suda, I'm doing it right before the suda. I'm taking care of the dessert right now. Right. I can serve the dessert for an hour and a half. That's all part of the meal. That's called part of your achila. Now, what's called samach l'suda? He says it has to be samach l'suda. Right? Mm-hmm. So how samach is samach? So the Magen Ram says that till people leave shul is not before that's not called samach. So the woman stays home, but she knows the husband gets out. She hears everybody walking out of the shul. She can start preparing the meal until he gets home. It takes 10 minutes. Boom. Before that, they're busy doing something else. They're not really ready. They're not in the eating mode. You can't say it's samach l'suda because you're not in the eating mode, the Magen Ram says. You're in the davening mode. When you finish the davening, now your plan is to eat. So now you're in the state of samach l'suda. I mean, unless you're planning to go for a walk. So point is, it's the next item on your agenda. And you're ready to do it.
So really then, the time doesn't play a role here. So really if you get out of shul, let's say we finish Rav Arshar at 10:45, and then we're all going home, but we don't eat until there's some people that might eat at 11:15, some people might eat at noon.
So it's again, if you're planning to eat immediately, so it's mutter.
But if you're planning to eat at noon?
It means you plan to do something else in between. You plan to sit and shmooze or walk or read, or so you're not samach l'suda yet. It has to be the next thing, the next item on the agenda. So Moshe comes along and says that the way you measure it is the following way. Listen, so depending on the meal, so, you know, if I have a suda which I'm having 15 guests, obviously my preparation time is greater than if I'm having just my a husband and a wife. So they're not going to give them the same zman of samach l'suda. It means all of the preparation done for this meal, so whatever means the amount of time you need to get the meal ready to go, all of that, and you're doing it right before the meal, so that's called samach l'suda. If your goal is to get up early, I remember I had a woman, she says, oh, she always gets up Shabbos morning, and she prepares this and other thing, and she goes out to greet her, goes down the road to greet her husband. And her goals have everything ready, this way she can go outside to meet her husband. I said, well, that's usur. Because then you're not holding in samach l'suda. You're getting everything ready to be able to go do something else. So some of you can't get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning, make all your arrangements, then go to shul. So she was like, really?
But Rav Moshe is not totally on the Magen Avraham that Rebbe quoted, though.
I don't think it's totally on it. He's trying to give some type of hagdora to what the Magen Avraham is saying. Okay. The tzarech. V'mkabon osho kesh yistarech gam arach suda or al suda acheres. You are preparing extra that this way when you finish your meal there'll be extra food left for a different meal. Chayiv chatas. That extra that you're preparing is not called tzarech asuda. Ach im emelem nishtar mebriyose ad lach rasuda em bekach klum kem shekvar berer beheter. If some got left over, that's not a problem. And the person say, you know, so I'm having guests coming over, so I would like to put out a bowl of fruit. So I get what I want and put in the bowl of fruit, etc. So I take it out of my fruit bin, which is a mixture, different things. You know what? I don't want to put that out. They don't look so good. But I'll take these and these and these, and it looks very nice. I'm not going to put my fruit bowl exactly one pear. And well, there's three people coming. So one's probably going to eat the pear and eat the peach. So I put one pear, one peach, and one apple. I mean, that's not a fruit bowl. My goal isn't to have leftovers. My goal is to make it look nice, that they should feel comfortable taking, you know, what they want to take. There's only one peach there. They're not going to take the peach. My goal is to make it look, you know, inviting. So that's called tzarech right now. My goal isn't to have leave-over food. My goal is to have it ready for now. But my goal is actually to leave over for later on. That's a problem. If it just memela gets left over, that's not a problem. Feel okay. But to learn. The echad yochel livur ba'ad kol b'nei asuda b'im ezem eshum barat. Now, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is, remember, the heter is derech achila. Well, how can my bishtam, if I'm preparing my own food, so it's like the same way I cut my meat, that's part of my ma'aseh achila, so I separate the meat from the potatoes, it's all part of my ma'aseh achila, because I'm going to eat it. But I'm cutting the meat and preparing and separating the potatoes for your plate, how's it derech achila? Right? That's the chiddush over here. Not only even if you're not going to eat at all, you're preparing it for other people to eat. You're preparing a meal for your kid. So it says it's all part of the chila process of somebody that's not called derech breir. Therefore, I want to prepare the yorek, the vegetable called salatin, which is lettuce. He says, taking the good ones from the mupish ones. I will let that happen. You can't do the other way. You can't take the bad ones out. Now, they're not really psalas, they're still really edible. So you can't give them a full fledged status of psalas. Still, at least Minerbana would be awesome. You know, all from the good, from the bad leaves. Vuadin kshemunach l'fan of kitnias. A sharp hairis, the eshpeh mesuloyim umupashim. There's some beans which have worm, they're wormy or they're rotting. Chepesh enough of the oris, it's arva b'offer mitzvahs, or there's fell down and there's dirt and there's little pebbles. Take out what you want to use now. Because if you take more than that, otherwise you're going to have a lot of problems. Okay.